Here, we're so excited that you're here today. Glad you would choose to come to Calvary. We're glad you came to church. Amen. But if you are new here, you've never been to this church before, we're excited to have you. So if you're new here, would you just raise your hand right quick so our church can clap for you? Thank you, guys. Just hold your hand up for a second. Right over there. Yep, there's a few. Very good. Very good. So glad you're here. I think there's only been one time in however long we've been to church that I haven't seen visitors. We've seen Sundays where people didn't get saved, but we've always had visitors. Always. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Have people that are still seeking churches. I know there's a lot of people moving here from California. And they're finding churches. Did you hear that statistic the other day? They said they interviewed U-Haul and they said they can't put enough U-Hauls in California to get them here. Did you hear that? People are leaving this nonsense and coming to the place of common sense. Amen? And that's here. That's right here. Right stinking here. And I even heard too, I heard it on, actually it was on the same, broadcast. I think it was on Glenn Beck. And he said, you know what? Texans are really afraid that people are moving here and they're going to change Texas. But he said that they've been talking to a lot of people, and I even heard somebody that's involved in politics said that the statistics are showing that they're coming here because they agree with us, not because they're coming here to get away from something. They agree with us. Yes! Yes, you cannot change Texas. That's exactly right. We're too gun-toter, around here. We're too Bible-based, common sense, man, I could preach. That's a long message right there. I got to get going here. All right. Tithes and offerings. Y'all clap your hands for tithes and offerings. Here we go. Luke chapter 9, if you want to turn there. I'm going to preach a little bit out of my phone today, out of the Passion Translation. I love the Passion. It really breaks things down for you. By the way, if you're new here, we spend a little time talking about money every service we have, for the simple fact that we want you to know that God wants you blessed. People have been to churches their whole lives in religious churches. We've been religioned to death. Amen. And it's about time that starts changing. So we talk about money in here. We know some churches are afraid to talk about it, but we're not. So here it goes. Luke chapter 9, let's start in verse 23. He said, Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely and embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. Tithes and offerings, submitting in the tithe, is truly disowning the old way of thinking. That is taking up your cross. Tithing is one of the hardest things for Christians. It's one of the hardest things because we've been religioned to death. And I'm talking to death. Religion will produce death. It does not produce life. It does not teach you the whole truth. It teaches you part of the truth. It doesn't throw everything out there and let you decide. It says, I'll throw part of it and tell you that this is how it's going to be. But not when there's freedom. The word produces freedom in your life. The tithe will produce freedom in your finances. He says, you must disown your life completely, embrace my cross as your own, and surrender to my ways. Tithing is a way. It's a way. It's an open door. It's a way. He says, for if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will discover true life. So if you're willing to give up your old ways, he said, you will discover the true life. Because a lot of people think, I got it all figured out. This is the way to go. I'm really living the good life. He said, but if you'll disown the old way of thinking, he said, you will discover true life. Not the world life, the spiritual life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep. So what you're hanging on to, he said, whatever you're trying to hang on to through the world's way of thinking, he said, you're going to lose it anyway. Because there's a difference in worldly riches compared to godly riches. They're not the same. Even if you gained all the wealth and power of this world and all the things it could offer you, yet lost your soul in the process, what good is that? So why then are you ashamed to be my disciple? Are you ashamed of the revelation truth I give to you? See, a lot of times being a tither is, most of the time it's a lack of knowledge. Most of the time tithing is just lack of knowledge of what the Word says about money. Even though God talks about it more than anything. It's amazing how religion took over money in the church, because it talks more about the prosperity and the finances, etc., etc., than faith. How is it that we got faith right and believing that Christ died for us on the cross, but we totally missed the money part? It's because we were religioned. Preachers were afraid to talk about money. Happened when I was a kid. Happened in our church. He started talking about money, and the whole church took off. The whole church split. Eventually, there was no church. That's a sad state of affairs. When churches will fall apart because the preacher talks about money. Yeah, the whole church split. The whole thing. All gone. Down the drain. The church that I got saved in at the age of 12. Yeah, he said, oh yeah, he's just trying to get more money. Yeah, so he can do this, this, or that. You know, all he was trying to do was just, you know, add on to the church because we were growing. We had kind of maxed out in there. And he was just trying to grow. He said, we're going to have to add on to this place. Hey, that's a good problem to have. That's a good problem to have. This building is built to knock down that wall and go that way. Did y'all know that? This building was built. If you look at these metal structures, you know anything about these metal buildings. These buildings are built to add on to. So the purpose or the idea or the vision is to knock down the wall and expand the tent. You ever heard that scripture in the Bible? Expand my tent, expand my territories. We're expanding tents here. We plan on expanding the tent. Now this one holds 10, you know, quite a few people just as it is. And y'all, some of y'all have been going here for a while, know that, you know, during our rodeo, etc. This place is packed all the way back to the doors. That's a lot of people. But that's not good enough. Just doing it once a year ain't good enough. Every Sunday it should be like this. And if there's people coming to Liberty Hill, and all of you know that there are, all these buildings and all these houses that they're building, those people need to be going to church somewhere. And there's a lot of them that don't. So, don't allow religion to keep you out of God's best financially, what He has prepared for you. If you think you've got enough money, you got too much money, give it away. You know, if you think, oh, I'm rich, I got plenty, then start giving some of it away. Start finding a ministry to give to. Find somebody to give to. Be one of those that just finds ways to give. Buy people houses. Buy people cars. I'm telling you, the more you got, the more you can bless. And that's the purpose of money. Oh, y'all get excited about giving. Y'all come on up and give today. Come on. Come on up and give. Yes, sir. Oh,
to see. And you know, it says we'll be known as we are known.
I dreamed of a city called Glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy." The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and oh, the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son of God." When I entered the gates of that city, listen now, all my loved ones, they knew me well. They showed me through the streets of heaven. The scenes were too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, there was Mark and Timothy. But I said, "Timothy, can you tell me where to find my Jesus? 'Cause he's the one who died for me." Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, my God, you're holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son." Give God a hand clap.
Yes. All right, Joe. Joe, you don't need to ask me anymore what song to sing. That was plenty good right there. Good choice. Y'all clap for Joe, please. Yes. Sang it with some authority. I think you have a good selection. Good choice. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Kids are leaving, but the youth is not. Is that still the case? Yes? All right. So, kids, would y'all clap for the kids as they waddle and run and all that stuff out the back door? Nah, don't run. I was just kidding. I don't mean how many times I have to say that in the hallways at school. Hey, slow down. Don't run. You know most of the time where they're running? To lunch. And I can't blame them because I did the same thing when I was a kid. I was always hungry. My favorite subject, y'all know? What was my favorite subject in school? Lunch. Not math. Not science. Lunch. That's exactly right. And they had good teachers in there. They were called cooks and chefs. Lunch. All right. 2 Corinthians and Hebrews 11, if you'd like to find those two. That's where I'll be today. 2 Corinthians and Hebrews 11. So, when Corey said other preachers will follow suit when they're in this podium, I'm doing exactly that, but I was doing it long before he ever said it. Because this word, probably around Thanksgiving or so, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced this, but it happens to me a lot. And Perry Stone says it like this, and when I heard him say it, I understood that, yeah, that happens to me. That's what it's called. The word now dropped into my spirit. It's like God just like, here, said it, you know. It's one of those things where you're like, oh man, I know that's God saying something here. He's trying to tell me something. God doesn't always, you know, tell you a full sentence or a paragraph or spend 2 hours with you talking to you. Sometimes he'll just drop something and say, here, take that. So the word now, back in, you know, around Thanksgiving or Christmas, just dropped into my spirit, man. The word now just blew up. And so I had to go start researching, you know, what is God trying to tell me? And I think it was either that day or the next day. And, you know, I'll get to this here in a minute, but I had another one, you know, show up on my phone today. I get those little daily scriptures from ministers, you know. It was like that day or the next day, I opened up that scripture, and guess what it was talking about? Right now. Now. Right now. And guess what happened this morning? Now. See, yesterday we had a tournament, basketball tournament all week, and I got home and I was like, and we put the tournament on. So when you put a tournament on, it's an all day thing. It's an all day before and a day of thing. So when I got home, I was pretty tired. So I got home, you know, looked at the scriptures a little bit, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, I can't do this right now. It's hard to go to the prayer closet when you're tired. It's hard, because you lose focus. I'm not saying you can't. What I'm saying is it's hard to have focus, and it's hard to learn stuff when you're tired. They said one of the presidents, I don't know which president he was, I think it was George Bush, George W. He said he doesn't make any decisions past, you know, major decisions that will change the direction of America or whatever. He never made decisions past 2 or 3 o'clock. So once you get to a certain part of the day, you get tired, and when tiredness walks in, faith can walk out. Real fast. Because when you're tired, you're not as... And you know, a lot of people think, you know, you got to be faith and holy all the time. Well, I'm here to tell you, the flesh won't let you sometimes. Because you're tired. And that's okay. God understands that. You know, God made us. He can understand that. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to skip it for today. I'm going to come, you know, get up in the morning and start studying a little more. And I did. I got up. And guess what was on the phone? Now. I was like, yes! This is good. I'm like, confirmation. This is God confirming, said, yes, you know, focus on this, focus on this, focus on this. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to talk about faith, which is where Corey was last Sunday, Hebrews 11. And I'm going to talk about now. So the title of this message is Now and Faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. And like I said, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, but you can follow along with me. He says, "Now, since we are God's co-workers, we beg you not to take God's marvelous grace for granted." That is a powerful, powerful statement right there. Powerful. He says, "Allowing it to have no effect on your lives." So I looked up, if you read the King James, he says, "You receive not the grace of God in vain." Do you see that in verse 1? If you look up the word vain, it means producing no result, and it's useless. Have you ever heard that scripture that faith without works is dead? There's one thing to have faith, and there's another thing to work it. To work faith. To put it into action. To use it. The Word of God is useless unless you faith it and you use it. Because if you ain't using it, it says, the Bible says that your faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, if vain means producing no results or useless, and I know y'all remember, I don't know if y'all remember, the last time I preached, I'd mentioned that the number one thing that is plaguing the church right now is the fact that people want to be Christians, but they don't want to change. Everybody wants to be saved, but nobody wants to be changed. It's like, "God, I received Jesus, but I don't want your word. God, I received Jesus. I want to go to heaven, but on the earth, I want to be who I am. I don't want to change anything. It might make me uncomfortable, might make me feel insecure. I don't want that kind of nonsense. I don't want that kind of, you know, making me uncomfortable stuff in my life." How many of you don't like being uncomfortable and insecure? Me, I don't like that at all. But I have found that every time I was made insecure or didn't feel comfortable with what God was telling me to do, that on the flip side of the mountain was nothing but prosperity. Anytime God says, "Hey, there's a door right here and I need you to walk through it." But that door requires a key, Lord. Yeah, he said, "I got the key. Don't worry about that. I got the key. I got the key. Just put the key in." God, has God ever asked you to walk through a door? Has God ever asked you to climb the mountain and say, don't worry about what's in front of you. Just go. Just do it. Number one problem with Christians is they're willing to receive Jesus, but they ain't willing to change. It's 90% flesh and 10% spiritual. I want to keep doing the same old things I've always done. I want to keep walking the same old. I want to keep saying the wrong things that I've always said, like cussing or whatever. Guys, cussing doesn't make you go to hell, but it can change your life. If you understand the Bible and what it says about your words that come out of your mouth, you'll understand that you will never want to cuss again. Ever. Because words change. If Jesus called himself the Word, then we should watch our words. Jesus was the Word, is the Word, and always has been the Word. So if he calls himself the Word, then the things that come out of your mouth, since we're created in his image, everything that comes out of our mouths should reflect who he is. I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but put it in your mouth, put some water in there, gurgle it around for a little while, and just swallow the pill because you need it. That's a tough pill to swallow, I know. I never was a cusser, so it was easy for me to never be that way. And I'm not just picking on the cussers. I'm not picking on the smokers. I'm not picking on the drinkers. I'm just here to tell you that if you want to walk and live without all this pressure in your life, then you're going to have to change. I told somebody this last year. I said, God is non-negotiable. You cannot walk into the prayer closet and say, but God, you know, that's a hard task to ask of me. And you know what God says? There ain't nothing you can't do that I have not given you a way out of it. There is nothing that it will fall in your lap, or that will you will face in your life that you are not able to face without my grace. There is nothing that you can face in life that is not conquerable. Nothing. Verse 3. Actually, you know what? Watch what verse 2 says before we go to verse 3. Because I didn't get to that part, and that's what I really want to major on. For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, what is it? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the accepted time and the accepted salvation. Now is the time for salvation. Right now is the time for you to change. Right now. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about your past. Because some people get so wrapped up in what they did back then that it starts affecting their right now. And if it starts affecting your right now, it's going to affect your future. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. How many of you want to be saved from pressure and stress and financial problems cars getting repoed, houses getting repoed, problem with the kids, problems in your marriage, problems at your job, dealing with all the hoorahs that don't know who Jesus is? How many of you want to be saved from that? Right now is the day of salvation. He's not going to pull you out of it and say, that's okay, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. I got this. Don't worry. I'll pull you out. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you the grace to walk through it. He's going to give you the grace to deal with it. God has never been the type that would say, here, just come over here and sit down. I'll take care of this. He's always given us the authority and the power to go through it. Not to go around it. Have you ever noticed that, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. God is not the type that he has to go and attack the devil's weakness. God is the type that will go and attack the devil's strength. See, the devil does it the opposite. He always finds your weakness and attacks you there. He don't ever go for your power. He don't ever go for your strength. Because he knows that you can beat him every time. See, that's the difference in God and Satan. Satan attacks your weakest point. God will go right at the devil and say, I will attack you head on. Isn't that what David did when he walked out there and faced Goliath? Did he go out there and say, Hey, God, I'm going to go out here and say these things, but I need you to take care of it. You know, David still had to find the rocks and sling the rock with a slingshot. He still had to do something. He didn't go out there and say, okay, David, now be quiet. Put your slingshot in your pocket. I got this. He went out there and faced the giant that nobody was willing to face. Nobody. They were all hiding in the tents, waiting for God to do something, and all God was waiting for was somebody else to go do something. Nobody was willing to go, except David. Little old boy, teenager, walks out there and faces a giant, falls down and scatters the army. The whole army, all of Goliath's army, took off. They're like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to get us too. How many rocks he got in his pocket? He kills one man, and the whole army scatters. See, God walked out on the plain with David and said, hey, if we take this guy down, they're all going to scatter. But see, what Satan does, he'll sneak into the tent and find the weakest vessel and attack it there. And then hopefully, by attacking the weakest vessel, it will start affecting the strongest vessel. Faith gives us confidence. Yesterday I was sitting in the locker room with our kids and we were playing in the tournament and for the championship, and I sat them all down and I said, look, I said, you're only as good as you believe you are. You're only going to win if you believe that you can win. The question is, do you believe you can win? And they went on to win, you know, which is great. So they said, congratulations, Coach Myers, way to go. I was like, I didn't play in the game. I was just a guy on the sidelines yelling at you. I said, how much do you believe? And you know, they're still learning and growing in a lot of ways in basketball. But I said, you're never going to be any better than what your mind tells you you are. Ever. You're only as good as you believe or you think. That's it. Watch verse 3. I'm going to read 3 through 10. Watch this. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, affliction, and necessities and distresses. Now watch this. There's several scriptures here of worldly persecution. He says in verse 5, in stripes, imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report as good and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Whew, that's a lot of worldly living right there. And I ain't even got there yet. As unknown, verse 9, and yet well known. And dying, and as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Wow, that's a lot of information. He says, my faith has given me the confidence to go through this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and they're saying all this about us, and yet we're still going, and they've thrown rocks at us, they've persecuted, they've left me to die out there on the dirt mound, and I came back to life, and blah blah blah, and everybody thinks we're poor, but we're really rich, and they think we have nothing, but we possess all things. All things. Faith gives you confidence to endure. Now is the time for salvation. Now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. My friends, I pray it every time we're in there before we come in here. If you leave here the same way that you came in, then you ain't getting it. You have got to change in everything. And I'm talking daily. When you go into the prayer closet, when you show up to work every day, you have got to be better and better and better and better and better and better. You've got to be getting better every day. Not only in the world where you're at, you know, being where you are in your job or whatever, but you got to grow spiritually. You got to go up. You got to go up and you got to grow up. I tell my kids all the time, they talk to me and I'll ask them a question. They go, yeah. I'm like, listen to me. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You talk to me, you talk up. And what does that mean? Yes, sir. And no, sir. Does that mean I need myself to be edified with sir? No, absolutely not. I could care less. But to make them better means you got to learn to talk up. When you go into your talk to your boss, it's yes, sir, and no, sir. And I'm telling you, if you can learn to do that, you'll earn favor. And guess who gets the promotion? You do. Because you don't walk in there and like, yeah. There's a way to be in the presence of people that are above you. You remember when Joseph went before the king? He went in and shaved his whole body, shaved everything. You know why? Because that's how Pharaoh wanted it. That's how Pharaoh is. In the presence of Pharaoh, he said, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to honor him. So he went and he shaved everything, and when he came before Pharaoh, eventually he became second in command to all of Egypt. Because why? Honor. Even honoring, guys, let me tell you something. All of your bosses are not always going to be Jesus freaks. They're not all going to be Christians. They're going to be cussing scumbag, dirtbags, whatever you want to call them. They're not always going to be spiritual people. But I'm telling you, if you will honor them, you'll go up. That's just the way the world works. God has never written you a check. Your boss writes you a check. God says, if you will give, I will give it back to you. Press down, shaking together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? He didn't say, shall God give unto your bosom? He puts it on the heart of men. He even puts it on the heart of wicked men to bless you. He said, in all those things, faith causes me to endure. Now faith, which we'll get to in a minute in Hebrews 11, now faith causes you to endure. Verse 11. He says, O you Corinthians, our mouth is open to you and our hearts are enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto many my children. Be you also enlarged. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So now he's trying to talk to them. He's saying, you know, I'm receiving you guys. Because, you know, a lot of people, they didn't receive Paul. A lot of people thought Paul was an imposter. He's like, yeah, this is the same guy trying to kill us. Now all of a sudden he's telling us about Jesus? I don't think so. So it was really hard for them to take Paul's word for it. And he says, come out. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are a temple of the living God. Now watch this. He said, as God hath said, if you're going to try to convince somebody how to be a Jesus person, you better be able to back it up with Scripture. Watch what he says. He said, didn't God say, I will dwell in them and walk with them and be their God and they shall be my people? He's using Scripture to back up what he's saying. He says, wherefore come out from among and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now faith calls us out away from the world. I had to write this down because this was so good. And puts us in God's custody. Now watch this. Flesh brought us into the world, but the world doesn't want us because we don't like their ways. Can I throw out a few examples? Everybody must be vaccinated. Everybody must wear masks. Churches cannot open. If you do open, you can only have five. Y'all remember all this? The world doesn't want us because we don't like their ways. And their ways do not please the Lord, therefore they do not please us. Yes. We want God in our schools. We want God in our government. We want God at the highest levels of government. I'm telling you, one of these days, they're probably going to start having church services on the State of the Union address. That would be really something right there. Walk in and say, all right, everybody bow your heads. I'm going to tell you how the State of the Union's going. It's terrible. Now let's try to fix it. And we're going to invite God back in through the doors. And we're going to put the Ten Commandments back in the Congress. So God becomes our foster parent, and eventually we became the adopted children of our adopted father through Jesus Christ. See, flesh brought us into the world, but God's going to take us out. Flesh brought you here, but God is wanting to take you out. And that day of escape is coming soon. Oh, it's coming soon. The day of escape. I got revelation on this the other day. Oh, it was so good. When all of us are raptured, there will be zero Christians left on the earth. Zero. Zero. When all of us are gone, there will be zero Christians left on the earth for those 7 years. That will start an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But there will be zero Christians. For the first time in the history of the planet, there will be zero people. There will be zero people on the earth that are saved because we'll all be gone. We're all gone. God is our adoptive father. He is also our foster parent, which tells you what? He helps you to grow up. He feeds you. He clothes you. He gives you a bed to lie in. He gives you shelter. He gives you protection. He puts angels around you as guardians. They're your big brother. They walk around with you. They go with you. They protect you. He is your foster parent. But ultimately, your adopted parent. Because we were adopted in through Jesus Christ. It was prophesied in the Old Testament through Abraham. Man, you could preach all day on that. Hebrews 11. Now faith, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is what Corey was talking about last week. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is knowing that it's there even though you can't see it. It's the same with getting saved. You believe that Jesus Christ exists? He's not here. He's not walking around in front of us, is he? No. The Holy Ghost is in us, though. And it's the Holy Spirit that ministers to our spirit and says, just believe that Christ died for you and that you are saved through him. You're adopted through him. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things that you can't see yet. Now faith, now faith, now faith. You know what now faith produces? It produces now results. Oh, that's a good one. Now faith produces now results. When you tithe, when you confess it out of your mouth, you're getting now, you're practicing now faith. Even though you don't see it yet, God has already went into action. When it manifests, yes, down the road it might manifest a few years from now, a few weeks from now, tomorrow, blah, 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 whenever. But now faith is producing now results, right now. Right now. Now faith. Now watch what it says here in verse 2. This is so good. And I'm going to read the Amplified. He says, for by this kind of faith the men of old gained divine approval. My friends, if there's anything that I want more in life, it's divine approval. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you talk about me behind my back. I don't care. I still love you, and I will always love you, and I'll always smile and shake your hand. But I don't care what the world thinks about me. All I care about is divine approval. Hebrews 11 verse 2 should be your focus. And if that becomes your focus, you will seek first the kingdom of God. And then the Bible says, all those things shall be added unto you. Why? Because you seek divine approval. Verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. My friends, if you're dead and you're still talking, there's something, you're doing something right. Do you remember when it said that his blood, he says, what have you done? His blood cries out from the earth. Faith, faith actions, and faith words can linger even when you're gone or not present. Have you ever said to yourself, now what would grandma say? You ever thought that to yourself? What would mama say right now? Remember when you left to go off to college and you thought to yourself, what would mom do right now? I'm off at college by myself. What am I going to do? What would mom do? What would grandma do? You ever notice that grandmas can sometimes be the one that you receive a lot from because they've been there, they've done it four times longer than you have. They've been on the earth longer than you have. They've seen it all, they've done it all, and it's amazing as kids still think that they're smarter than grandma, grandpa. Oh, I know it. Yeah, I know more than she does. Haven't you seen TikTok lately? I mean, it's really clear that that's not the truth, grandma. And they'll say, now, sonny, if I was you, this is what I would do. I remember, Angela, can I talk about us for a little bit? Do you remember growing up, you got married, and you thought, you know what, I'm going to wait about 5 years so we can save some money to pay for those kids. You know what that is? Poverty-minded. And I still remember my grandfather, who was a Marine, he said, howdy, what are you thinking? It's been 3 years. Would you please hurry up? He's like, now he did have a little, Sorry, Grandpa, but he was a little poverty-minded too, because he said, you'll never have enough to, you know, saved up for those kids. Well, that's, spiritually speaking, that's not true, because you can, because that's, you know, that's the wrong mindset financially. Yeah, you can save up enough for your kids. But having the mindset of, well, I gotta say, I better save up. These kids are gonna cost a lot. And the older they get, the more they cost. Amen? When they're little bitty, all you got to do is buy the little formula and all the little diapers. But as they get older, they want American Eagle and Buckle and Guess and Nike and Reebok. And see, they now have an opinion and they want this thing. But when they were little bitty, they got whatever you gave them, right? Like, hey, I found this at the dollar store here. You know, I found this at Goodwill here. Take this. Don't have poverty. You know, I'm going to wait until I get to this, you know, blah. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do it financially in your business, etc. Do not go out there and just go get in debt just because you want to start a business. That ain't God's way of doing things either. Okay? But whatever you do, make sure you're guided by the Holy Ghost. Faith actions, and faith words can linger even when you're gone. So these words that you're saying to the atheists and the ones that aren't saved, when you leave, God's still talking to them. God's still talking to them, even when you're not there. And then when that person is thinking about going to church, they start meditating on all those things you told them. Because why? Faith is crying out. It's crying out, even when you're not there. Because when you say something into the earth, it goes. It goes. It's gone. It's out there. It's already in action. It's already moving. It's already putting itself into action. It's already going. Words, I'm telling you right now, you better watch your words. Words matter. They always have and they always will. Verse 7. Now, as we go through these, I don't have time to walk you through all of these scriptures, but I'm going to walk you through just a few of them. Because when you read the book of Hebrews, it's the faith chapter. By faith this, by faith that, by faith this, by faith that, by faith Noah, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith Moses' parents. So verse 7, we're talking about Noah here. What's it say? Where am I at? 11:7. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, so he's using his faith, moved with fear, prepared an ark to be saving, to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Faith will teach you how to build a boat, even if you've never built one. You want me to be a boat manufacturer? Right out here in the middle of nowhere? I'm telling you. Now, back then, God would ask me, I mean, you'd ask me to build a boat, I'd have been like, where's the chainsaw? Where's the machines? You think Noah had a chainsaw? He didn't say, hey, hand me the Echo. Hand me the steel. I got to cut this wood tree down. I got to cut this tree down over here because I got to build an ark. You know what they had? Elbow grease. Isn't that what the old timers, that's what my dad always used to call my grandpa, elbow grease. Faith will teach you how to build a boat even if you've never built one. I can't doesn't even exist with God. Have you ever heard of those people, those testimonies, those people falling asleep and they wake up and all of a sudden they can speak a different language? You ever heard of stuff like that? Those testimonies, people either go to heaven or you hear those testimonies where people have woken up and they're like, I've never played a guitar in my life, and all of a sudden I woke up and now I play a guitar. Or I went to sleep and I woke up and now I can speak, you know, three different languages. If you think God can't use, now, a lot of people think, well, you know, now I can go live in Mexico if I can speak Spanish. No. What God is telling you, you can go to Mexico and preach. Now that you have this second language. If there's one thing that God can do, it's everything. If there's one thing God can do, it's everything. See, we're always thinking, if there's one thing I can do, it's be a banker. If there's one thing I can do, it's preach. If there's one thing I can do, it's sell cars. If there's one thing I can do, it's sell insurance. But with God, if there's one thing He can do, it's everything. If there's one thing, if God's asking you to do something, I'm telling you right now, You better be ready to put the key in the door, because I'm telling you, the Rosses know my testimony. I argued with Corey Ross for a long time. Said, I ain't called to preach. What are you talking about? Me? Yeah, man, I think you're called to preach. I fought it for months. Months. Never would commit. But he saw something in me that I didn't know I had. That's what the elders can do for you. That's what grandma and grandpa can do for you. That's what mentors do for you. They see things in you that you don't know you possess. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling you every single day. Every day you wake up, He's asking you to do things that you don't know you can do. You know why? Because He can see what you don't see. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things that you can't see. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost to live in us, because He wanted to be in a vessel, and He wanted to teach those vessels how to bring the kingdom of God to the earth, which is what we're doing in these end times. We are bringing Jesus to the earth. We're bringing it to politics. We are telling all of all those kings that think they rule over us that we ain't gonna take it anymore. We're gonna live godly. You can live like you want to, but just because you're Mr. So-and-so way up there does not mean that you're exempt from what's coming. Verse 8, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Now faith tells you to go somewhere you have never been. I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but if you'll go, you'll be glad you did. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph predicted and prophesied that they would carry him out of Egypt when God called him out of Egypt to cross the Red Sea. He's the only guy that got to go through the Red Sea in a casket. Can you imagine them? Like, gosh, we got to carry this guy. Man, whew. And I'm telling you, it wasn't just like the regular, you know, caskets like you see. It was like probably solid stone. Donkeys might have been pulling it. He said, when you leave, don't leave me here, please. Please don't leave me. Take me with you. He prophesied that they would take his bones with them. Faith can call in your future. That's why your words are so important. I believe by faith that I have finances more than enough, more than just a tithe, more than just to help the needy and the poor, more than just to help a ministry or this. I call it in right now in Jesus' name. I call it in that I have enough. I call in abundance right now because I honor the Lord with my money. You got to call it in. It's out there. God's just waiting for you to call it in. He's like, I got it. All you got to do is ask for it. Call it in. And the Bible says He will open the windows of heaven. I can just imagine what that looks like. Open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so big that you won't even be able to receive it. Santa Claus's bag ain't big enough. Faith can call in your future. Verse 23, watch this one. Oh, this is a good one. By faith, Moses, when he was born, you're talking about his parents here, his parents, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Does that sound like us today? Standing up against all the hierarchy and all the people at the federal level telling us we got to do this, we got to do that, because you're a peasant. And you better do what we tell you to. But no, not Moses' parents. They said, you know what? We see this. He's a proper child. You know what this verse was? I had to write this down. This was so good. Faith. Okay, so faith stands firm against ungodly king's commands. Like you can't go to church or whatever because of the virus. And quit killing babies. Verse 23 was an abortion verse. He was afraid of the babies because he was afraid they were a threat. And that there was a king somewhere around here. And I better kill all the babies. There are people on this earth that think we are overpopulating the earth. And they want to they say, oh, we got to make abortions legal because we're overpopulating the earth. Because their focus is, oh, we got to save the earth. I'm all for saving the earth. But I ain't for killing babies. Verse 23 is a post-birth abortion. The king felt threatened, so he thought he had to kill people. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses turned his back on the world. He could have easily said, "Hey, I'm Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter is my mom. You know, she raised me. I've been in the king's presence for a very long time because I'm Pharaoh's grandson." You know, but he didn't do that, did he? He walked into Pharaoh and he said, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says, 'Let my people go.'" King, I know that you're Mr. Know-it-all and you think you're God and everything, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created you, says you better let my people go or else. Now, once Moses said that, faith immediately started. Immediately. Moses went to Pharaoh without any inclination of what was about to happen. All God told Moses to do was just go. Moses didn't say, "Okay, what you going to do when I get there?" He's like, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him, 'Let my people go.'" "Oh, I can't do that." Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, I'm talking about granddad here who, his daughter raised me, found me in the river, raised me up. I can't just walk in there and start telling Mr. God and Mr. Know-it-all that, he got to let all these people go. He said, "All right, you notice, if you read those scriptures, you notice how God gets a little bit frustrated when Moses says, 'Moses, just go.' Okay, Moses, I'm done asking you. I'm going to send somebody with you to be your mouthpiece." I'm telling you right now, if God asks you to do something, you better do it, because otherwise he's going to find somebody else to do it. And you're going to miss the crown. There's going to be other people in heaven wearing your crowns because you did not do what God asked you to do. There's going to be all these crowns laid up. God's going to have all these crowns laid out. He's going to say, "Okay, I'm going to give these crowns to these people." "Okay, Moses, you don't want to do that? Okay, it's fine. I'll take this crown. I'll come over here and give it to this guy." There's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Do not be ashamed at his coming." You know what's going to be shameful at his coming? Is when you ain't got a crown. God had these crowns laid up for you, and you chose not to serve in the church. You chose not to do your part in the church. Not everybody's called to be up here. That's fine. But do your part in church, wherever that is. Whatever that is, whatever that calling is, find somewhere to serve, because that's God's way of doing things. You don't just come to church on Sunday and just say, "Well, I went to church." And then, you wait 7 days and you come back to church. And you wait 7 days and you come back to church. No, find somewhere to actually get involved. Even if it's one time a year, even at our rodeo. Find somewhere to be involved. Moses turned his back on the world and said, "I choose to come before Pharaoh and do God's work and not yours." He knew he was, I'm telling you, I bet he walked in there shaking in his sandals, thinking, "Oh God, this dude's going to strike me. He's going to send his whole army. They're going to come against us." But no, he walked in there and said what he said, and Pharaoh's like, "Get out of here." He's like, "I don't have time. I'm not even going to waste my time putting my, having my army guys, beat you up and throw you out. Just get out of my presence. Shoot. And then here comes God. Wrath. And the dude just kept resisting. Eventually, pride cost him his firstborn. Verse 31, as I'm closing. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. If you know the story of Rahab and Jericho and how the spies were sent in there to check out Jericho, Rahab took them in because she knew who they were, and she had heard with her ears the God of Abraham. Rahab, her faith says, "I know I have been a harlot to the world, but I can still be saved." And guess what? She was. Now, this is something that popped in my head. And you say to yourself, "Well, I'm not a harlot. I've never done those things." Let me ask you this. You can commit adultery against God with social media, TV, alcoholism, dipping, smoking. If these things keep you from being the bride of Christ, then you're committing adultery. I know that's a tough pill to swallow. Football can come before God. I know because I've seen it. Football, basketball, all these things that you'll spend hours doing and God's just wanting, you know, 20 minutes with you, 30 minutes. You are the bride of Christ. And you have to remember that in this world, there are going to be things thrown in front of your face that the devil will use to keep you out of the prayer closet. I know that's a tough one to swallow, but there's a lot of things in this world that are probably keeping you out of the prayer closet, that are keeping you from spending time with God, reading His Word, studying His Word. God, you know, God's not asking for hours and hours and hours. There are some people that go in there and do that, and that's fine. But God just wants a little bit of time with you. It might start with 5 minutes. Give Him 5 minutes and see what He can do. At least give Him a chance and prove Him. Let Him have a chance. Because I'm telling you, what He has to offer is going to be better than all this other stuff that you're committing adultery on God with. You are the bride of Christ. Rahab was a physical harlot. But the world, there's a lot of Christians now that are committing adultery against Christ and not spending time with Him because they have too many things to do. If there's one thing that Satan can use against you, it's giving you too many things to do. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, you can be just as successful or just as much of a failure by attempting too many things. He said, I've seen people be successful. He said, but I've seen people fail because they attempted too much. They had too many irons in the fire. Joyce Meyer will tell you. She said, man, I used to think I had to be at church every Sunday. Every day of the week. I had to be doing something every day. I had to be serving here, serving here, serving here, serving. She said, I got burnt out. He's not asking you to burn out. He's just asking you to commit and do something. And if you can start with 5 minutes, I'm telling you, when you get addicted to the Holy Ghost, you'll want to stay 10 minutes. And when you get addicted to the Holy Ghost, you want to stay 20. And when you get addicted to the Holy Ghost, you want to stay 40. And you're like, man, I can't get out of here. This is good stuff. So I'm going to read you the scripture that I saw today from the minister that sent me the now scripture, one of the now scriptures. I hate that. I hate doing this. Y'all hate doing that? Used to be able to go like this. Now it's like, does that say you or we? You know? He says, well, you know, they always put your name in there when they send you those. He goes, how do you can create any future you want? That's the opening. You will never leave where you are until you decide where you would rather be. That's good. Oh, that's good. Yes. The day you make a decision about your life is the day your world will change. You know you're one. You know that you're one decision away from a new future. One decision. One decision. He said, move decisively toward the goals you have established. Intolerance of your present creates your future. So you've got to have this zero tolerance policy for devils interfering with your future. Intolerance of your presence. You've got to be so doggone tired of what you're living right now that you make this decision. You finally decide. Okay, I'm deciding. I'm done with it. I'm tired of this. I'm fed up. Have you ever been I've been there before where you've been so far down, and it could be financially, it could be they're about to repo the car, they're going to take the house, and then all of a sudden you've been through something that's so traumatic, you're like, I've had it. I'm done. I'm going to start educating myself. I'm going to start reading books. I'm going to find out how to be smarter instead of being stupid. There is nothing more fulfilling than finding out something you've been doing wrong your whole life. There ain't nothing more fulfilling. Oh, if I would have known. You ever said this? If I'd have known back then what I know now, it'll change your life. Oh, my gosh. Today is your seed toward tomorrow. You're living in the future right now, 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 right now. Every second that passes, you're in the future. You're walking into your future. You're walking into your future right now, right now, right now. Your future is decided by whom you have chosen to believe. Mm-mm. Who do you believe? What do you believe? Don't believe this stuff just because I'm saying it. I have always said, I am not the king that says, believe it or you're out of here. I tell you what I know, and I tell you to choose for yourself. And it should be that way, because that's the way God made us. He didn't make us as a collective. He made us as individuals that are part of a collective. That's what's wrong with our world. Everybody's got to be on the same test. Everybody's got to do the same thing. Everybody's got to take the vaccination because we're all going to die. We ain't dead yet. We ain't died. I had COVID and I made it through. Boy, I walked right through that thing. I walked right through it. I called the nurse, the doctor, and she goes, do you really need me? I was like, you know, you're probably right. I really don't. I probably don't. She said, okay, well, I'm going to prescribe the ivermectin. And I walked right through it. Isaiah 43:18 says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now it shall spring forth. He says, shall you not know it? That's that part where God says, okay, Moses, go to Pharaoh. That's that part that says, okay, Billy, it's time for you to quit selling cars and go be a minister. Okay, Bob, it's time for you to quit hanging out in all those places that are getting you in trouble and start going to church. Behold, now I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? Has God ever said, you know what, you sorry, I told you. No, he didn't say I told you. He said, you should have done this, this, and this. But he ain't never got on to you for something he ain't never told you to do. God has never got on to you or chastised you or disciplined you for something he has never asked you to do. Why would you get on to your kids? You wouldn't beat your kids if they didn't know that they weren't supposed to be doing that. But when you tell them and they know it, that's when the chastening comes. That's when the discipline comes. Hey, you know, I told you not to do this last year, last week, last, 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago. God is never going to give you a hard time or get you to move, you know, or yell at you or discipline you when he's never asked you to do it. But when he does ask you to do it, come on, get out of your seat. Come on. You can do it. Walk through the door. Then if you don't, you won't receive what the Bible calls the kingdom of God here on earth. You'll just be walking through earth doing your same old thing, doing your same old, you know, trying to make it on your own, doing your own financial deal, trusting the government, trusting the stock market. Stock market will take care of me. I can put 100 here and it'll be 1,000 by next week. But what happens if it doesn't? Because I can put 100 right there and it'll be 1,000 and pretty darn soon. It may not be next week, but it will be pretty soon. I guarantee you. I've watched it happen. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in others. It works, I'm telling you. But now faith has to produce your now results. My now faith does not produce your results. Your now faith produces your results, not mine. I could go on forever. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I would urge you right now, right now, right now, to get serious with God. He's been serious with you since the day you came into the earth, since the day you came out of the womb. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to receive Him. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front, up to the altar. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except pray a prayer. And we believe, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you will confess this prayer with your mouth, I believe that if you confess this prayer with your mouth, that you will be saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you better get serious right now. Because this is the day. This is the day of salvation right now. Now is the time and now is the day of salvation. Now, if you're already saved, that's fine. But your salvation, wherever you're needing help, God is here right now. So when you leave out of here today, you better leave listening, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer, and we're all going to pray it with you. Say it like this out of your mouth. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you on the count of three to just raise your hand. And I'm the only one looking around. So if you prayed the prayer and you meant it, I just want to just see who you are. We love to see people. It just confirms to us that, you know, somebody got saved today. And we want to celebrate you. On the count of three, there is anybody. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Is there anybody? Okay, good. All right, well, look at me. Man, I got so much in me, I just want to pour it out on the floor. So much, I got to say. Thank you guys for being here. If you're a visitor, thanks for coming. If this is your church, be here. If it's not your church, go find it. We have never said, oh, you know, you don't go here, you're going to hell, you know, or this is the best, you know, we are the best church, I'll tell you that right now. You'll be glad you stayed. Yeah, we may not have Starbucks out in the foyer all the time. You know, we got coffee, we got donuts and all them healthy things out there. We may not have the atmosphere you like, but I'm telling you, don't go because they serve coffee. You better go because the Holy Ghost is in that church. Find a church that has the Holy Ghost there. And if He ain't there, go find somewhere else to be. All right, Rick, I can stay up here all day. You got a mic? Okay. You can do that.
All right, everybody. Give Howdy a big round of applause for that word. Woo! I love it because that man right there practices what he preaches too. And that's what this church is. That's the whole, our pastor Corey, he practices that by faith, now faith. What a message. I'll give Howdy one more round of applause. That's awesome. Awesome word. Okay, Howdy handed me this message and I have not approved it, but it says, when you do announcements, says we have 1 liter bottles of water. If you want to get some 1 liter bottles instead of the little bitty short ones, well, Miss Sharon will be out there in just a few minutes. So if you would like to purchase some water, she's got some out there. And I guess that's the only Bible study Tuesday night. Don't forget, it's a great time to come and we get more focused on certain things. You can ask questions. It's a good time to learn and get more in depth about the word. So please come join us. We've got awesome teachers. You can always get something and never be afraid to go, you know, because the biggest thing is at church, you can't do that during the message. You see, it's led by the Holy Spirit. And so if you break that anointing, that's out of order. But at Bible study, it's still, the teaching is still led by the Holy Spirit, but it's designed so that if you have a question about what's being taught, you can ask that and it's okay. So y'all come join us. You'll learn a lot. Also, for those of you who are visiting or haven't been here when Howdy's preached, or Rusty or myself, we're like Pastor Corey. Pastor Corey doesn't take a salary at this church. So he practices just what he preached last week. What? How did he preach today? By faith, God provides. So Howdy doesn't get paid to preach here, but that's what this pretty little box is for right here. If God puts it on your heart to give to Howdy, it's Howdy Byers Ministries. If you want to write a check, it's B-Y-A-R-S. Did I spell that right, Howdy? Good. And he said you spelt million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N. No. Or if you want to get really excited about it, you can add an S to the end, millions. No, but really, if God puts it on your heart to bless Howdy, it's a man of faith right there, and he practices what he preaches, y'all. So we'd love for you to bless Howdy in this box. And Heidi, if there's no more announcements, y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Father God, we thank you for that word, for now faith. Father God, now, and in a second now, and in a second now, faith, Father God. And as we go, that's what it is our faith, Father God. Our each individual faith, as Howdy said. Father, we thank you for that and praise you. And we know your word says that when we leave here, you don't stay here, but you go with us. You never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. I just pray over everyone here, blessing. Father, everything that they put their hands to this week shall prosper in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. With the big round of applause, you're dismissed.